You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Good Thursday morning to you. I had to think of which day of the week it was. Yeah. Hope you're having a good day so far. Representative Elijah Cummings is going to lie in state at the Capitol. His body is now being moved up the steps of the Capitol as we speak. He passed away last week. Been one of Baltimore's representatives to the United States Congress. So his body will lie in state there. So that's going on this morning. I was up in 29 Palms yesterday, spent part of the day with 1st Battalion, 2nd Marines. Right? Battalion commander is Gabe Diana. Now, I'm like, why do I know Gabe Diana? And I was thinking about it last night. And so I see him. I'm like, why do I know you? And he says, we were in Afghanistan together. I was with 1-9. He was either the 3. I think the 3 or the 3 Alpha, probably the 3. So worked with Gabe on a daily basis. And so it was awesome. It was awesome. So the last 48 hours, been on the post-traumatic winning circuit, which as everybody knows, I can't do enough. But yesterday was great. Doing it at Camp Wilson, as the 2nd Marine Division has formed out in the desert, conducting the largest exercise that Marines have conducted, I think, in most people's memories. So, a lot of Marines out there. A lot of Marines out there. So, did post-traumatic winning again in the chow hall at Camp Wilson. And it's always an amazing experience. And then I forgot to start the show on time yesterday, which pissed me off. So I put the show together yesterday, and it was a bit of a tribute to Marines and sailors who lost their lives on October 23rd of 1983. So if you didn't check it out, I talked about my experience down with First Information Group, doing post-traumatic winning with them, and then Matt Gospodinovich, who passed away, Gospo as he's known. The interview with him and also the interview with Brigadier General Rod Baskowski, who was a first lieutenant in Beirut when the buildings fell. Pretty amazing interviews. If you get a chance, I would certainly recommend that you go check those out. And so did that. And then I was talking to Tim Lynch on the phone, driving up to 29 Palms, and then I forgot to start it. And I know most people, like, expect, like, oh, well, maybe Matt's just late. But I was, like, 34 minutes late. I was pissed, too. Because, you know, you set the whole thing up, to be honest with you, so that you probably don't know that it's not live, right? Until I do the weather and the temperatures are vastly different, then that might be an indication. But other than that, it was like, it was the show. So it pissed me off. But you know, you're around Marines and you kind of learn what a good unit looks like. And I will tell you this, 1-2 is a good unit. You could tell by the way they show up, by, you know, the way they move, the way people talk to each other. And so it was good. Post-traumatic winning yesterday was good. And then as always, you know, there's, you know, people that come up to you and they just tell you incredible things, which is why I think it's such an addicting experience. You know, you have Marines come up and want to talk to you, and, you know, my friend committed suicide, and I found his body, and, you know, I really struggle with it, and, you know, can you give me some advice? You know, I still am friends with his parents, and, you know, what do I say when I call him, you know? I said, well, now that you've seen this, give them this. Help them deal with their trauma, right? Help them give meaning to what happened to them. And I said, you can do that. That's an incredible gift. Other than that, you don't have to say anything that's magical. All you do is have to tell them that you love them. I love them. I care about you, and I'm here for you. And so, you know, it's, you know, stand there, talk to him and a number of other Marines. And then one Marine waited until everybody was gone. And he's a junior Marine. And he came over and he said, hi. And I said, hey, how are you doing? And he said, I'm good. He said, could I talk to you? And I said, yeah, you can talk to me. I said, sit down. So we sat down on one of the benches in the chow hall. And he looked at me and he said, and then another Marine came up and he said, I don't want to interrupt. He said, but, you know, can I talk to you after, you know? And I said, sure. And then the kid who was there first, he looked at the other Marine. And he said, I can't do this if you're standing here. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. And so he walked away. So we sat down and, he looks at me and he says, thank you for doing this. And I said, it's all right. You don't have to, right? Somebody did it for me. I'm just doing the same thing for you. He said, it's pretty different. I said, yeah, I know. And then he said, I have a hard time talking about that. I said, it's all right. I said, nobody can judge you. And then he got tears in his eyes, he's fighting it, and he said, I was sexually abused for years when I was little, and I've never spoken about it. You're the first person I've ever told about it. I said, well, that's the first step, all right? That's the first step. And I looked at him and I said, just so you know, I've given this thing now to before probably close to, I should probably total it up, but 35,000 people. I said, you saw the stuff I talk about my own life and stuff like that. How many times do you think I've ever got an email or a text message or a voicemail that says, man, you're a sorry piece of shit. You up there whining about your life and all that. I just want you to know I think you're pathetic. How many times do you think I've got that email? And he looked at me and said, I don't know. I said, I've never got one of them. Not once has anybody ever said that to me. So I want you to know that nobody's going to judge you. Nobody's going to think less of you. That's my experience. He said, I've just been terrified to talk about it. And so I said, you know, have you ever thought about killing yourself? He said, I've tried three times. I said, well, did you listen to Lance Corporal Kuiker? He said, I did. It felt like he was talking to me. I said, he was talking to you. I said, he was talking to you. And he said, I said, did you hear that part where he said, if you have experiences like I do, I'm going to tell you that there's a better place. And then he said, that's why I wanted to talk to you. I want to go there. I said, look, what you're faced with, right? Did you see the graph? He said, yeah. I said, did you see that little video I show where the plane's flying through the storm? He said, yeah. He said, that's me. I said, you want to go to the sun? He said, I do. And I said, okay, then the only way you can do that is you tell the truth, you share your story, and then you touch the lives of other people. And if you do that, you can't shed what happened to you, right? You can't ever top that to a good experience. But when you start filling up your life with good experiences, the good will overcome the bad. He said, I can't even imagine that. I said, I know you can't. And let me tell you, Kuiker did the same thing. He waited around when I met him, and he was a straight-up shit show that day. He was in trouble. And I said, and if he can do it, you can do it. So we sat around and talked for another, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes, and then he took off. Right? I got his cell number and whatnot. And I said, your life's going to get better, man. I promise you. Right? You and I are going to be friends. Your life's going to get better, and you're going to help other people. He said, all right. He said, I can't believe this. I didn't want to come today. You know, I get sick of this stuff, and like everybody does, it doesn't ever seem to speak to me, but this spoke to me. I said, well, it's pretty blunt. He said, yeah, it is. And then General Furness couldn't go the first one. He hasn't introduced. So I wire brushed his ass for that. But you know, it was just a great, Lieutenant Colonel Diana spoke. There was the opening thing was delivered by a captain who stood up, and he talked about his mother committing suicide when he was 14. He talked about his daughter just recently. I think she's 4 years old. She had to have open heart surgery twice. First time was the procedure. The second time was to save her life. And he says, the most terrifying thing I've ever been through. And he talked about losing his brother to cancer in the space of, like, that happened, like, less than a month later. And he said, look, so what we're here to talk about is life and living through the hard stuff. And he said, I saw this at Expeditionary Warfare School last April. And I want you to know that it had a huge impact on me and the way I look at all of this. So it was awesome. It was all the things that it always is, and which is why for me it's such a cool thing to do, and why I look forward to it for so much. So yesterday, a lot of driving in the last few hours, in the last couple of days, but let me tell you. It is honestly a labor of love, and I wish everybody could have the days that I have, because it just never gets old. It never gets old, touching people's lives. And so, anyway, so good morning to you. Tim Lynch is going to join me today here in about 46 minutes, and Tim showed up in Beirut after the bombing, and so we'll talk to Tim. And about that, and then we'll talk to him about, I wanted to talk to he and Jeff about General Berger's remarks. Jeff's not going to be with us today. So I'd rather we do that when the three of us are together. So I'm not sure what's going to happen. So we'll see. So anyway, good morning to you. United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Good morning. Dedicated to the Marines and Sailors, 1st Battalion, 6th Marines. I'm very impressed by the whole thing, the way they conducted themselves, their professionalism, and the way they showed up, the way they left. You can just tell that they're good. They're good at what they do. And I love seeing that. Anyway, good luck to them out in the desert for the next, 4 or 5 weeks. Do good things, boys and girls.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I stuck around that little paying out for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marine. And the infantry got its name, Infant Soldier, Infantry, Young Soldier. And I enjoyed being around him. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time for the weather. Sunny and 60 in Quantico right now. Partly sunny and 70 at Camp Lejeune. 29 Palms is sunny and 66 at Camp Pendleton. Sunny and 65. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark. I have to call it up. Dark, clear in 71. I was going to say dark, cloudy, but it's actually dark, clear and 71. Camp Butler in Okinawa, dark, cloudy in 74. In Ramadi, in the Al Anbar province of Iraq, it is early in the evening, cloudy in 79. In the Helmand province, the provincial capital, Lashkar Gah, is clear, dark, and 65. At the home of All Marine Radio, it's 66 degrees under sunny skies. Looking for a high of 95 degrees today. Yeah, you don't have to look at the speaker and say, did I just hear that right? You heard it right. 95 degrees, right? Winds are will be out of the east northeast at 20 miles an hour, gusting to 30. You got that going for you today. Tonight, or tomorrow, 92, and on Saturday, down to 91. Yeah. Are you kidding me? What the hell? Called the Santa Ana winds, and it makes fires go very, very fast. There's a couple of weather warnings in effect. Let's see what they are. One, obviously, there's a heat advisory in effect. Okay, got that. A wind advisory? A gale warning. Well, they haven't hit here. From 5 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, Thursday, October 24th, until 2 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, Thursday, October 24th. So we'll see if they happen. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I want to talk about discipline a little bit. It's not even discipline. You know, I see young people now, right? I mean, you know, I see young Marines. I have a daughter that's 16. And one of the things that's I want to talk about after the break is I don't think we realize how we've not prepared them. And I want to say, and I'm if you're a public educator, I don't think you guys are doing the right thing. Because they operate at such a deficit in terms of their ability to understand and deal with life. It's ridiculous, in my opinion. And they have, and I will tell you, I'll make another comment about how unique their DNA is. So we'll take a break. And I want to talk about, I think, how poorly our education institutions and our parents prepare kids to for the rest of their lives. So don't touch that dial. Then we'll check news headlines. Tim Lynch will join us. More of All Marine Radio coming up here. Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. I have to do shithole weather. Yeah, I don't, shithole weather, man, come on. I just got an email. Make money survey, account confirmation required, you qualified, access your bonus cash. Right. Shithole weather. Tempo rising, position, Millbury, Massachusetts, current AO, Ram's Horn Pond, Millbury, home of the Woolies, not exactly intimidating mascot, I'm allowed to talk trash, I was one a billion years ago, conditions, 43 degrees Fahrenheit, expected low of 38 degrees tonight, break out your Wobie boys. You're going to need it tonight. Winds out of the west at 8 miles an hour. Robin's egg, clear blue skies. I'm not even sure what that means. I guess robin eggs are blue? I guess you would have to know. That's a cultural reference. That those of us who don't live up there don't understand. Shithole weather from Pleasantville, Pennsylvania. It's a perfect fall day where Erie and Pittsburgh folks come for the joys of the outdoors. It's currently sunny and 50 degrees on the way to 64. Winds out of the south-southwest at 8, gusting up to 11. Cool, bright, and breezy throughout the day. Anyway, there you go. That's Nancy. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk you through a cold, bitter ocean.
So think about it. You grew up now. How well do you think you're prepared for the real world when you grow up in a world where your feelings matter, where you don't do adversity? I think one of life's the single most important skill, right, probably that you need to get as you grow up is the ability to take responsibility for mistakes and then overcome adversity and mistakes. Right? I mean, that's to me up near the top of the list. You know, you don't experience consequences, right? And so to me, what our schools have done, they've created this fake-ass world for young people. And Colleen can flunk every class at school this year. She's going to be a senior next year. They're not going to hold her back. No consequences. That might hurt her feelings. That might damage her self-image. Which is certainly more destructive than, you know, not passing a few classes. So what have you taught them? You taught them that you cannot do the things that are required of you as you attend school, and you'll still, you know. So you just green-lighted their shit behavior. Well, you don't understand. Yeah, you're right, I don't understand. Because what I see is young people who don't know, right, who don't know, you know, who don't know how to do it. They don't know how to live their lives. And I would make the case for you about Marines now, today, are more unique than Marines when I was a kid. And when I joined the Marine Corps. And let me tell you why. Discipline was a part of my life, right? Between corporal punishment, Kathleen, and going to school and whatnot. I mean, I lived in a structured world. When I went to practice, sports, I mean, there was structure to all of it, right? And there was somebody in charge, and you did what they told you. And so, that was just my life. So when I joined the Marine Corps, it was like not foreign to me. I knew structure. I knew discipline. They don't know that anymore. They don't know it anymore. And so they operate from this deficit position of learning this stuff, right? And you don't really notice it till they come up and ask you, you know, really basic questions about life. And you're like, wow. You know? And it's not their fault. And that's my point. It's not their fault. It's like, I don't know what I honestly, I do not know what schools think they're doing anymore. Right? I don't understand when, I mean, they stop fighting in high school though. Because if you get in a fight, you get expelled. You don't go to detention for a couple weeks, you get expelled. Right? There's zero tolerance for that. And I think that they hurt young people so much by this phony-ass environment they create where so how does that make you feel? And your life's going to rotate around your feelings every day? Good God, man. Good luck to your ass. If that's the way you're going to go through life, holy shit. Good luck to you. Because it's gonna be a tough ride if that's how you're gonna live your life. Yikes. So anyway, so young people today that look at and just use the Marine Corps, look at the Marine Corps now from the culture they live in to the culture that they want to go to. That's a pretty different kid. Because they don't grow up looking at something, having experienced the, you know, structure and discipline and say, yeah, I think I, unless they're athletes. But teams are even different now. I mean, we say, oh, yeah, you play a sport. Well, was it like, was there the same emphasis on the same things that were emphasized when I played? I don't know. All right. My guess is probably not. And so the athletic experience, not even the same. Not even the same. So to me, you know, what you see is they operate from this incredible deficit. And so when they choose, that's jumping across the Grand Canyon. The reason that you can't haze them anymore, they can't take it. And I don't mean they're soft. What I mean is they've grown up in a culture that, you know, doesn't allow any of that. I mean, I grew up in a culture where, I mean, when I came home from school, right, Kathleen was like, are your friends around? What are you going to go do? Well, I'm getting out of here. We all know that, right? And I got on my bike. I got on my gold Stingray with a banana seat, put my baseball glove on handlebars, put the baseball in the spokes, grabbed the bat, went and got my friends, and then we were going to go play, you know, baseball, or we were going to go, you know, play Ditch'em, or we're going to go play something somewhere. And we got on our bikes. And I talked about this the other day. And so, you know, we were rolling around, you know, and we were having to stand up for ourselves and figure it out. Kids, you know, they go to the park and their mom's there, you know, sitting there on the bench, or, you know, she's over there sitting at a table reading a book so they can play. I mean, yeah. How do they navigate it? And then imagine the shock to the system, though, when, you know, they join the Marine Corps, and now all that shit's gone. And there's a bunch of crazy older people running around. And so I will tell you this. I think the rank of corporal is so important in the Marine Corps now. I would tell you more important than it's ever been, because when they come in, you have to greet them to the team. Right? They're not hard-ass kids. Like when I went through initiation and stuff like that, my attitude was whatever. You know, the next motherfucker's going to pay. Right? I wasn't having a meltdown about it. It was the way it was. It's not like I'd never been through that stuff before. You know? And so it went. But now they don't go through that stuff anymore. Okay, and so the way you receive them, and there's units doing this, they receive them as a group, and they don't take them. They don't go straight to units. They go to a receiving barracks, and they spend a couple weeks training and doing some quals and getting their feet on the ground, getting to know the area, getting to know people, and then they go to their units after they've been around NCOs from their units. And so it's the way you receive them is now different because of our culture. And so what's kind of interesting is, like, how do you have an institution where your culture fundamentally changes underneath you and you don't change to meet them? So now our corporals really are huge cheese movers, right? That book, Who Moved My Cheese? They've got to be smarter. They've got to be coaches. And so you've got to teach them, right, about what it is to be a Marine and how to be and how to do it. And you can't shit on them as much. You can't be an asshole to them as much because they can't take it. Now, I would say you're going to grow them to be able to take more of that kind of stuff. But at first, right, you got to love them more than you shit on them. And most of the shitting on in the Marine Corps, you know, it's like just guys being jackasses. It's not real like, oh, yeah, you really shit on. No, it's just, they're just being stupid. Because if you see the people that are just shitting on people, then somebody got to do something about that. But they're so much more fragile now at a young age. I was listening to Viktor Frankl again yesterday, day before, and he said something. He said, you know, most of the stuff that people see psychiatrists now for would have been handled by clergy people years ago. Because the people only went to see psychiatrists for severe mental health issues, bipolar disease, schizophrenia, depression. When it was, bad stuff. Now, you know, they can't accept something. They can't adjust something. They're struggling. That's all stuff that clergy people used to deal with. And the good news is that's all solvable because they don't have infrastructure issues. They just have coping issues. So you can get them through that. But I don't know. It just continually reinforced on me that I think that our school systems are failing. We're churning out soft, soft kids that are ill prepared for the rigors of life as they come at them. And you insulate them from adversity, you insulate them from consequences, and they don't get it. They don't get it. But anyway, but again, I would tell you their DNA is just as unique, if not more unique, because, you know, even in given the way they were raised and the craziness they see in the Marine Corps, they still want to be Marines. And I'll tell you what, that impresses the shit out of me. And so to me, you have to be more coach-like, right? And you can boot them in the ass, right? Right after you say, come on, let's get going. Move, right? And you're right with them, doing what they're doing. So, you know, just some thoughts as I see young people kind of do their thing. All right, time for us to check some news headlines. We'll start with today's edition of Stars and Stripes email. Mac, you don't seem at all interested in the whole impeachment extravaganza. I'm not. You know, it's two groups of assholes fighting, right? And it's two groups of assholes fighting. And, General Mattis gave a speech about this. The one that was very prominent about where he, you know, kind of poked at the president, who had called him the worst, the most overrated general ever, right? So, you can listen to that. It's on October 18th. It's that podcast. You'll see a picture of General Mattis. And so I would go back and listen to it. But that's what he's talking about. He's talking about this. Now, just for the sake of discussion, do you think no other president? It sounded like Joe Biden when he was saying, you've got to fire that guy or you're getting no aid. Was that quid pro quo? And I don't think the president has anything to worry about. I don't think the Senate's going to convict him. The House can do whatever it wants. Senate's got to convict him. So, House preferred charges or referred charges? But again, is that not something that American presidents and administrations have done for a long time in terms of quid pro quo? We have aid. If you don't do what we want, we'll withhold it. Is that not something that we do? Oh, but Mac, you don't understand. This is based on politics. Oh, isn't it always based on politics? I bet if you go rooting around. Amazing how the funding for the Clinton administration, the Clinton Foundation has dropped drastically. Why would that? Everybody was so concerned with the causes that the Clintons were involved in. What happened? Oh, so you mean it was pay for play? That's why those organizations were donating to the Clinton Foundation in vast sums, because she had possibly going to be the president of the United States. Oh, no, Mac, no. I mean, that's ridiculous. You're right, it's ridiculous. So to me, this game goes on both sides of the aisle. Everybody plays it. Now, let me say this about the president. I think the president has played by rich guy rules his whole life. Okay? There are the rules that got O.J. Simpson off. And if you're rich, you can do pretty much what you want, right? And so the president comes to the job having lived his life like that, right? The comments he made about grabbing women, you know, blah, 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 blah. Okay, his arrogance where he says he knows more than generals, all that kind of crap. So, and if you watch his style, right, when you attempt to hold him accountable for something, he just creates a bigger firestorm. And everybody rushes to cover that. And then the one that he started like 3 days ago, that thing went away. Now, if you watch what happened in Syria, right, you see his gut instinct, which ought to scare the shit out of everybody, right, ordering Americans out. Now, Tim and Jeff would agree with that. And then all of a sudden, Lindsey Graham on TV, now he agrees with the president saying, well, we're going to keep people in eastern Syria to protect the oil fields, and there's chances could turn out right. Well, if all that was supposed to happen, then why wasn't that articulated? Oh, because it wasn't part of the plan. It only became part of the plan when all hell broke loose over this stupid decision that they made. And that's troubling. And then on top of that, you get the fast and loose with the facts and the truth, which is most politicians. Right? He more so than others. So I don't pay too much attention to it. Right? I don't pay too much attention to it because it makes me sick. This is what national politics have come to be. And it's just, I don't know. It's just, to me, ridiculous. It's competing television networks or competing for ratings, right? And this is the speaker level they've tuned up, right, in both speakers to drown each other out and maximize their profits. And that's what comes to the American people. That's the drama that comes to the American people. And then the politicians cater to the media and the drama. In my opinion, it's pretty pathetic. Pretty pathetic. Early bird. Gun safety group recommends red flag laws to curb veteran suicides. How about that? If retired Marine Corps Master Sergeant Why was I logged out? I'm not sure. The story goes, if retired Marine Corps Master Sergeant Mike Washington had access to a firearm on some of his darkest days, he would have used it on himself. Washington, 57, a Gulf War veteran who remained in the reserve long enough to deploy to Iraq and Afghanistan after 9/11 terrorist attacks. His son Michael Toussaint Washington also became a Marine. He was killed in action in Afghanistan on June 14th of 2008 at the age of 20. After his son's death, Washington reached a breaking point that was exacerbated by what he had experienced during his career as a firefighter in the Seattle Fire Department. He relied on alcohol and struggled with suicidal thoughts before eventually seeking help. If I had a weapon handy at the time, I certainly would have used it, Washington said. Now Washington is part of a Veterans Advisory Council for every town of gun safety, the country's largest gun control advocacy group. The group released a report on Thursday that includes a set of recommendations for preventing veteran suicide. Stars and Stripes got an early copy of the report. The problem of veteran suicide by firearm drew every town's attention because of the statistics. Department of Veterans Affairs reports last month that firearms were used in 69% of all veteran suicides in 2017, the latest year data which is available. That is nearly a 33% increase from 2005. Every town's first recommendation is for more states to enact extreme risk protection orders, also known as red flag laws, which allow police or family members to temporarily remove someone's firearms if a state court agrees the person presents a danger to themselves or others. The idea is to place barriers between veterans in crisis and their firearms. So far, 17 states and Washington, I guess D.C., have adopted some form of red flag laws. A dozen of those states passed the laws after the massacre at Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida last year, said Sarah Bird Sharps, director of... Why should veterans be singled out? Why should veterans be singled out? I think anybody, my opinion, anybody who, you know, starts doing the crazy act ought to be subject to that. Next headline. U.S. troops safe after hitting a roadside bomb in Afghanistan. Another U.S. soldier identified from the remains turned over after the first U.S.-North Korea summit. Corporal Charles H. Grubb. Of War Eagle, West Virginia, was reported missing in action on December 1st, 1950, after his unit was attacked near the Chosin Reservoir, according to a DPAA statement issued on Wednesday. His company, Mike Company, 3rd Battalion, 31st Infantry Regiment, 7th Infantry Division, was declared dead a few months later, and his body was never found. The discovery was announced a day after DPAA said Sergeant Ernest Smith, 21, of Sedgwick, Kansas, had also been identified from the same group of remains. Smith had served in Headquarters Company, 1st Battalion, 23rd Infantry Regiment, 2nd Infantry Division, was reported missing on 25 November 1950 after his unit was attacked near Kwangdong, North Korea. He died the following January at a temporary prisoner of war camp near Pukchin Tarigol, according to several Americans who survived the war. So, again, we see these stories now on a regular basis as remains not only from North Korea but around the Pacific continue to turn up. A lot of times, the work is done by private citizens, which is pretty cool, pretty cool. Also in the news, Russia deploys the S-400 anti-aircraft missiles to Serbia for exercises with the Balkan nation's military, bringing the advanced system that caused friction between the U.S. and Turkey closer to bordering NATO allies. So there you have it. Another little thumb in the eye from Dr. Evil, otherwise known as Vladimir Putin. Marijuana found in Air Force nuclear missile facility in North Dakota. The drug, which was found October 9th at the alert facility controlled by Minot Air Force Base, was above ground and not near the missile operators. Oh. I guess that would be called clickbait, wouldn't it? I think it is. All right, from United States Navy Institute News. We're falling behind on artificial intelligence. Marines test lightning carrier concept, control of 13 F-35Bs from multiple amphibs. Yeah, the Marine Corps out there doing it. What the hell, man? Yeah, I want to talk about General Berger, some of the stuff General Berger, but I think Jeff should be a part of it. So anyway, he said at the Heritage Foundation, the Navy and Marine Corps recently tested out the Lightning Carrier concept of packing an amphibious assault ship with F-35B Lightning II Joint Strike Fighter jets, and they will likely continue to expand the exercise and exercise this capability. On October 8th, the USS America was photographed with 13 F-35Bs from Marine Fighter Attack Squadron 122 on its deck. America is one of the two aviation-centric amphibious assault ships in the fleet, eliminating a well deck from its design and instead using the vast space for aviation maintenance areas, greater jet fuel storage, and more. So, yeah, pivot to the Pacific. Booyah. Kind of an interesting little story here. Whenever you see somebody rebuke in public things that have been said. Secretary of Navy Richard Spencer rebuts congressional criticism of the Ford carrier program. Yeah. Congress needs to consider its own culpability before criticizing the Navy for the slow pace of prepping USS Gerald Ford for deployment, according to the Secretary of the Navy. Spencer called out Congress, who he refers to as his board of directors and Ford's builders, for sharing blame in the delays but avoiding acknowledging their role. Spencer, speaking Wednesday at the Brookings Institute, was reacting to comments made Tuesday by Representative Elaine Luria, who's a Democrat from Virginia, referring to Ford as the $13 billion nuclear-powered floating barge, according to a House Armed Service Committee Readiness Subcommittee hearing. Not one of her comments was, "How can I help?" Spencer said. "I consider that disparaging. If she wants to get on board and help, we have open arms. We need everyone to realize that these are massively complex systems." During the hearing, Spencer referenced Luria, a retired nuclear-trained surface warfare officer and U.S. Naval Academy graduate, asked Naval Sea Systems Command Head Vice Admiral Tom Moore for updates on the delays getting Ford ready for deployment that is now expected to occur in 2024, 5 years from now, 4 years from now, with initial operational capability likely to be declared no later than 2022, Spencer said. Ford was initially expected to deploy in 2018. I listened to Representative Luria. You don't see this very often, this kind of public, you know, discord, especially by one of the service secretaries. I listened to Representative Luria yesterday question my head of acquisitions and head of my maintenance, Admiral Moore, and I looked to her and other leadership on the Hill that continually disparage the Ford program, and I get a little upset, Spencer said. And then I go, "Wow, Richard, think of the positive here. You could not ask for leaders in Congress who make disparaging comments against the platform we're developing with new technology. You could not ask for a better disinformation program for our competitors." Luria provided USNI News with the following statements. "I find it disappointing that the Secretary finds congressional oversight disparaging. Here are the facts. The USS Ford will be 6 years delayed in its initial deployment, which causes incredible strain on the carrier fleet. Secretary Spencer himself promised the President that the weapons elevators would be fully functional by the end of this past summer. It is now fall, and no elevators accessing the ammunition storage areas are functioning, which results in a carrier with no combat capability. I've yet to see a detailed plan to fix the multitude of problems that with these new technologies. The Navy accepted the design of these systems and accepted the ship in an incomplete state from HII. So it is absolutely my role to question Navy leadership on the current failure to deliver an operational ship to the fleet." Now, Spencer rebuts, The cost in dollars was $4 billion. $4 billion, Spencer said. So when I get accused of cost overrun on the Ford by my board of directors, and they go and they burn $4 billion, I'm confused as to who is responsible for wasting or dribbling the resources. It's an atrocity that a continuing resolution exists. It's an atrocity, I think, that they go home on a vacation or a recess, excuse me, and don't do the business that has to be done at hand. We're still working here. Our uniformed members and civilian teammates are still out there standing the watch. Why can't they? Whoa. And I love the fact that I'm going to be very aggressive here, that Congress turns around and says, Navy, it's your fault. I have an extra seat up there when I testify. And I have not seen Huntington Ingalls, H.I., Newport News called up on the Hill to testify on the outrage that my board of directors sees about the Ford. In the spring of last year, Huntington Ingalls Industries management says, oops, it's going to be 2020. We don't really have any idea what we're doing, Spencer said. Little changed in plan. Totally realize it. This is awesome, man. So, we're making progress once we got a Navy team down there taking over the project, Spencer said. Faith and confidence with HII senior management when it comes to this project is very, very low. Yeah, that's what I like to see. Spencer, former Marine, you're not taking it. Yeah, and again, one of the interesting things that General Berger talks about in his talk at the Heritage Foundation is, and this concept of, will Congress allow the Marine Corps to become what General Berger envisions it should be? Right. Now, to me, there are some legitimate questions. Can we afford the Marine Corps to be that nuanced and still answer the bell and the other national, you know, in our national defense, right, strategy? Or is the Marine Corps going to be too nuanced? So that issue aside, one of the things they discuss is there's an inertia that goes with procurement, that goes with jobs in districts that is not allowed to be violated by the Congress. So the Army had this idea that, hey, look, some of these legacy platforms we don't need anymore. Congress said, whoa, 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 what are you talking about? That means jobs, that's in my district. That's how that shit gets built. That ain't happening. You're gonna take them and you're gonna buy them. And they put the whole plan on hold. Pretty interesting. And so, anyway, interesting stuff. Let's see if there's anything in Marine Corps Times that I would share with you. Then we'll do the top five stories in Early Bird. Then I'll get Tim Lynch on here. Yeah, the headline. I talked about this yesterday, but I don't want to bash Kyle Carpenter's book. It's a Medal of Honor recipient and all that. Here's the headline. Call Your Mom and Other Life Wisdom shared by Marine Medal of Honor recipient in his new book. I don't have a mom. I haven't had a mom to call like that in 40 years. And I'm not alone in that group. There's a lot of people that don't have moms that they can call. So, I don't know. I don't know what you, like, I wish I had the Disney family that Kyle Carpenter had. I don't. So, I can't call my mom. This is a story that we follow. And, it's a pretty high profile story, that has to deal with a colonel that was convicted of child sex abuse. He's now been officially released from the brig, and he's awaiting a decision on whether he will be allowed to retire. Well, how can he not be allowed to retire? Right? Dan Wilson, whose conviction for child abuse was overturned in July, has been released from prison and is on leave awaiting the Secretary of Navy's decision on his retirement request. He was originally convicted in 2017 for sexually abusing a child, six counts of conduct unbecoming an officer and one count of unauthorized absence. He was sentenced to 66 months in confinement and dismissal from the Marine Corps, a ruling that would have caused Wilson to lose his retirement benefits and have to register as a sex offender. Wilson's charge of sexually abusing the child was overturned in July by a 3-judge panel of the Navy Marine Corps Court of Criminal Appeals. The appeals court did not reaffirm Wilson's conviction for 6 counts of conduct unbecoming. Wilson's conviction for 6 counts of conduct unbecoming an officer and 1 count of unauthorized absence, ordering a resentencing hearing for the relatively minor offenses. In lieu of the resentencing, Wilson and the Marine Corps came to an agreement Friday that saw Wilson request retirement and be released from confinement, a spokesman for the Marine Corps said. Military justice system not covering itself with glory here the last few months. All right, we'll check top 5 stories in early bird. We'll take a break. Tim Lynch will join us. Yeah. Military justice system, not so much. Number 1, Esper has sharp words for Turkey over Syria invasion. How about the president today, right? The carnival that is Donald Trump. How about the president announces that there's going to be a permanent ceasefire between Turkey and the Kurds? The only thing missing was the rim shot, right? Right. Okay, whatever you say. It's from the Associated Press. Brussels, after spending 4 tumultuous days engulfed in the chaotic ramifications of the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Syria, U.S. Defense Secretary Mark Esper lashed out on Thursday at Turkey for its military assault across the border on Syrian Kurdish fighters. Speaking at the German Marshall Fund, we love Marshall, right? Esper said Turkey's unwarranted invasion into Syria jeopardized gains made there in recent years as the U.S.-led coalition and allied. Well, come on, man. When you just up and leave, whose fault is that? Turkey said he is heading down the wrong direction. No, Turkey, he said, is heading down the wrong direction. It's getting closer to Russia. Turkey put us all in a very terrible situation. And added that they need to be a responsible ally. Nice. Everybody, the service secretary is starting to wire British people. I love it. Number 2, Trump lifts Turkey sanctions, declares victory for American troops after ceasefire. I can't read it with a straight face. Did he say peace in our time? Thank God. President Donald Trump on Wednesday, I've been busy, announced a permanent ceasefire. This stuff is crazy. Along the Turkey-Syria border, and hailed his recent controversial military moves in the region as an unequivocal victory for America. He also blasted past American military intervention in the Middle East as making the region less safe, less stable, and less secure than before, and attacked his critics as overtaxing U.S. service members, overlooking more immediate threats like unchecked immigration from war-torn countries. Quote, American forces defeat 100% of ISIS caliphate during the last 2 years. We thank the Syrian Democratic Forces for their sacrifices in this effort. Now, Turkey, Syria, and others in the region must work to ensure that ISIS does not regain any territory. It's their neighborhood. They have to maintain it. Countless lives are now being saved as a result of our negotiations with Turkey, an outcome reached without spilling one drop of American blood. No injuries, no shot, nobody killed. All right. Congratulations, Mr. President. Well done. Well done. All right, number 3, U.S. does not know where ISIS escapees are, says the Syrian envoy. Number 4, should Mexico border deployment count towards Guard and Reserve GI Bill benefits? What the fuck? Why not? Why shouldn't they? They took an oath. They're down there working on a border, right? Does that not count? And then a follow-up story to the cadet at West Point who was found missing. Turkey, Syria, headlines before we go to break. Russian forces deploy at the Syrian border under new accord with Turkey. Nice. Well done. Syria's Assad gets a prize with American troop withdrawals. A Turkey-Russia deal for the guaranteeing Assad stability in Syria. U.S. troops relocating from Syria have 4 weeks in Iraq. And that's from the nation of Iraq. Hey, you got 4 weeks, then get the hell out of here. Next story. U.S. military will be tested after Syria withdrawal, a key lawmaker said. Got it. And lastly, Pentagon chief looks to focus Turkey, Syria at NATO, but has few good options. Good luck with that. Kind of an interesting little story. Jim Mattis statement blasts a tell-all memoir. Yeah, I was kind of curious about this, all right? Because really, he's a pretty private guy and he's pretty selective about, you know, what he does and who he does it with. Former Defense Secretary Jim Mattis's office slammed a memoir by one of his former Pentagon aides Wednesday, issuing a statement saying that he doesn't plan on reading the book and attacking its author for writing it, but the statement did deny any of the book's claims. Quote, General Mattis hasn't read the book and doesn't intend to, Mattis's assistant wrote in an email referring to the retired Navy Commander Guy Snodgrass's forthcoming memoir, Holding the Line, Inside Trump's Pentagon with Secretary Mattis. The book, which portrays Mattis fending off capricious demands from Trump and voicing private fears that the president was weakening U.S. national security, will be released on October 29th. Quote, Mr. Snodgrass was a junior staffer who took notes in some meetings but played no role in decision-making. His choice to write a book reveals an absence of character, Mattis's assistant, Candace Currier, wrote in a statement, adding that, quote, surreptitiously taking notes without authorization for a self-promoting personal project is a clear violation of that trust. The note went on. Snodgrass may receive a few brief moments of attention for his book, but those moments will be greatly outweighed by the fact that to get them, he surrendered his honor. Peace! Yeah, I was curious. I saw headlines that and I was like, is he doing that with his blessing? Because normally that's not the way that guy rolls. Anyway. All right, we'll take a break. Tim Lent's going to join me next here on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.